Hi everyone, and welcome to this episode of Emotional Food Freedom: Break Free Before and After Weight Loss Surgery, the podcast where I, Kerry Ross, an Australian clinical nutritionist, NLP master practitioner and trainer, food behavior counselor, hypnotherapist, will speak with you candidly about emotional and disordered eating, bariatric surgery, nutrition, the ins and outs of that bariatric journey, and self-empowerment. I've dedicated my life to helping women live their best lives and break free of the struggles between food and living to their best potentials. So in today's episode, I want to talk about limiting beliefs. And limiting beliefs, if you don't have a concept of them, so at this point, I just want to preface this by saying that limiting beliefs will come up 100% of the time when you're trying to make change in your life. And the easiest way to spot them is paying attention to your thoughts or language. And you can notice these thoughts and language in other people as well. You want to look for things that we call universal quantifiers. And universal quantifiers are kind of like absolute or extreme statements, like blanket statements about how you think or feel or believe you are as a person or somebody else is. So they have a definitive nature about them. They're always or never, I'll just. So they're very absolute. They seem very factual in their delivery. And limiting beliefs are the stories that we tell ourselves about who we are and what hold us back from becoming who we're meant to be. They're often false accusations we make about ourselves that can cause a number of negative results and can affect every area of our lives and prevent us from reaching our full potential. And this is what I really dedicate myself to, helping women shift and move out of their lives and break free of those limiting beliefs that keep you stuck in what we call effect. And effect is basically the opposite of radical accountability. It's saying that this happened to me because of that, that I have no control over my outcomes or the way I feel. So when we start shifting that accountability and taking it on ourselves and weighing up our choices against how it fits with our goals, we're going to start encountering what we call limiting beliefs. And some examples, of what they might sound like are things like, I don't have time. I don't have what it takes. It's the way I've always done it. I'm not strong enough. I don't deserve love. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. I just don't have the motivation or willpower. I'm too old. I'm not smart enough. Not educated enough. I'm just going to fail. I always seem to stuff it up. I never get it right. You have to have money to make money. I've already tried everything. I am a failure. I just can't succeed. I never have success with these types of programs. I can't do that. I don't feel like I deserve it. I've never been able to do that. Oh, I always have to take control and pick up the pieces. All the good ones are taken. There's so many of them, but they're always limiting. They always put a block or a barrier or a brick wall. And I think, sometimes we become our own brick wall, and those limiting beliefs can travel into the realms of fear and really overamplify what's actually going on in our lives. And the beliefs are often subconscious. And like I said, based on fear, doubt, or insecurity. They can come from past experiences, social conditioning, negative feedback from other people, and they will pop up consistently when you initially choose to live consciously and with that radical and extreme accountability we talk about, which we call being at cause. And to assist in removing limiting beliefs, we need to actually find out what they are. Just like food triggers, we need to find out what they are. And we sometimes refer to them as our excuses or reasons. So when we think about radical accountability versus no accountability or cause versus effect, when we're blaming our external world, when we're in effect, when we're listening to those limiting beliefs, we're looking for reasons. When we're taking radical accountability and saying we are in control, we're looking for results. Results, not reasons. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. Right? Because, and it's good to understand that also that being a cause or taking that radical accountability won't make your life perfect. And I'm not, peddling that to the masses. It's not going to make your life perfect. You'll still encounter challenges along the way. But the more at cause you can be, the more in control of your choices you can be, the more resourceful and effective you will be in meeting those challenges. So it's more like your emotional fitness gets a workout and you are able to bounce back sooner and more effectively. So it's really important to ask yourself, when I make change, what are the limiting beliefs that come up for me? And what's the negative self-talk and the behaviors that are driving that limiting belief? And where did that come from? The reasons why are usually limiting beliefs as well, just quietly. But is it a measuring stick? Comparing myself against others. I mean, we know that's futile because none of the parameters are the same. None of the variables are the same. You can't say, oh, because Jan had the same weight loss surgery as me, and she's in the same group as me, and she's, lives up the road from me, and she's got two kids just like me, and she's 54 just like me, or whatever. Just because she appears, I have this perception she is like me, that her outcomes are going to be the same, because they're not. Her story has been very different and her influences have been very different her whole entire life. You don't know whether or not Jan extreme trauma, or whether or not you have. You do not know whether or not Jan had the influence of an emotionally resilient mother or father that were able to teach her coping mechanisms or skills to keep her away from emotional food behaviors or disordered eating practices. You don't know what the other person's story is. So to compare yourself to others is like apples and oranges. It just doesn't match. So when you think about your limiting beliefs, you have to ask yourself, well, where did they come from? And what do they actually serve? What's the positive intent behind them? What are they actually protecting me from? Or what am I avoiding by listening to this limiting belief? Do you remember when you adopted these beliefs? What were you at the effect of then? Was it, being teased at school because you were a little bit bigger, or you perceived yourself a little bit bigger than your friends? And then in hindsight, when you look back at your old school photos, you realize that you were a normal sized girl and the friends that you had were a lot smaller than you. They were actually underweight by comparison. But you didn't believe that at the time. At the time, you thought that you were wrong. You stuck out like a sore thumb. And you felt like you were teased or left out of situations and weren't good enough or confident enough or popular enough. So, where did your limiting belief come from? Where was it? Where did it develop? Where was it planted? And thinking about it, what was it in that belief? What was it, the effect? How did it shape your belief? What was the positive intention of the belief or thought? Now, because finding that positive intention in your limiting beliefs and behaviors will help you develop your true direction. Now, what am I trying to avoid by listening to this limiting belief? What is the positive intent? What is it protecting me from? So my limiting belief, for an example of this, is failure. I'm always going to fail. Well, it's not exactly true. You've succeeded in life so far. You're still alive. You're still kicking. You've made it into middle age or wherever you are. You work a job. You've raised a family. You're a wife, a mother, whatever your role is. You've been quite successful in those so far. So it's not a matter of you never being able to succeed or always failing. But by telling yourself that you'll always fail, that limiting belief, what's it protecting you from? Perhaps it's protecting you from the re-emergence of those feelings of hurt that one time you did fail and it did hurt. You'd never want that to repeat itself. But it's really important here, I guess, to make a point that history can't repeat itself. History absolutely can't repeat itself, because just like you can't compare yourself to Jan down the road, because all of her variables are different. Today is today, and yesterday was yesterday. The two are very different. What you've learned from those failures, what you've learned from those mistakes, what you've learned from the past comes with you into today. So you're a very different person today than what you were then. So history can't repeat itself because you're different. You're older, so it can't repeat itself because it's different. The same people aren't the same players, so it's different. It can't repeat itself. But we hold on to a fear because it protects us from perceived notion of hurt. And then we use our coping mechanisms to distract from the fact that we're stuck and we don't move forward to where we want to be because the fear is just too much right now. And look, you can absolutely break free of that. You can absolutely get out of that limiting belief. And that's what I dedicate my life to. Like I said, helping women break free of those limiting beliefs, find emotional food freedom, find freedom from basically behaviors that bring them down in their lives. It's not all about food as well. You know, I do personal coaching with people that's about business, about lifestyle, about self-esteem, about confidence, about getting out there and living a life that they never did. The food was just the end result. The food was just the coping mechanism. The food was just the, I guess, response or reaction to things unfulfilled, to limiting beliefs listened to old stories that re-emerged, to values and wants and desires unfulfilled. Remember, it's not about what you're eating, it's been about what's been eating you this whole time. It's not about what you're eating, it's about what's eating you. And your weight and the way that your body is presented right now is a representation about how you feel about that experience and how you feel about yourself and those needs unfulfilled or fulfilled in your life. Your body is the representation of the satisfaction or dissatisfaction in your life. So, like I said, these limiting beliefs, they're often subconscious, they're based on fear, doubt, insecurity. And they come from those past experiences or social conditioning or negative feedback from other people. And like I said, you can identify them by asking yourself questions like, what is stopping me from achieving my goals? Or what am I allowing to stop me from achieving my goals? What do I fear the most? What am I afraid of? What do I believe about myself that's just not true? I know it's not true, but what am I pretending not to know to allow this problem to keep on happening? What do I tell myself when I face a challenge or a setback? You know, once you identify your limiting beliefs, you can challenge them and replace them with empowering beliefs that support your growth and your happiness. And there are different ways to challenge and replace your limiting beliefs. But I guess the most common steps to follow are, first of all, again, identify them. What do I fear the most? What do I believe about myself that's just not true? What do I tell myself when I face a challenge or a setback? Then, what you have to do with that statement is assess the accuracy of your limiting belief. Is it reality? Is this belief based on facts or opinions or effect? Now I have to develop an alternative empowering belief. So I now need to reframe and rephrase based on reality. What belief would help me achieve my goals or live my ideal life? Or what's the truth of this? It's not about me always failing. Because, you know, most of the time you get it right. So rephrase. I'm a little bit nervous about doing this new thing because I'm not quite sure I can do it. But I'm going to try because I never know unless I try, right? I'm going to use positive affirmations for myself. So to reinforce your new belief with positive statements, I can do this. And if I fail, I'll take it as feedback. And feedback is just some information to show me how not to do it next time, or how to develop a different set of skills, or how to look at it from a different perspective. Failure is not a dirty word. It's a fantastic word that indicates that you're moving forward into change. And change is a little bit uncomfortable, but it's glorious when it's aligning with your goals, right? I'm going to take action based on my new beliefs. So I'm going to act in alignment with my new beliefs. I'm going to be congruent. I'm going to walk my talk. I'm not just going to, you know, scream into the void over and over, I want this, I want this, I want this, and never do anything about it. I'm going to show my internal integrity and congruency by doing what I say I'm going to do. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to review and revise my belief. I'm going to monitor and evaluate my beliefs and how they impact on my life. If they don't fit like a nice comfy coat when I try them on, I'm going to change it for something else. If it doesn't feel right, it's not my value, it's not my goal. So, what do you think about it? What you need to do, in a nutshell, is to challenge and replace your limiting beliefs with more empowering ones and more realistic ones. And remembering that it's never going to be 100% because you're not aiming for perfection. You're aiming for massive, imperfect action, and that's what makes you human and beautiful and glorious, and that's what inspires change. So remember that changing your beliefs is a process that takes time and practice, and it's worth it in the long run. And I can help you make the challenge and the change and conquer and overcome these if you wish, but you can do it for yourself. Are you ready to choose you? That's the question. I'll talk to you in the next episode.